All right, JT, if you'll come.
Walked in here this morning, looked back there, I thought I was seeing things. Joyce is back. I'm glad to see her. Turn with me this morning to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. Couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 25. Said, now to him that is of power, establish you according to my gospel. The important thing is the gospel. And it said, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is center of all things, he must have preeminence. Then he goes on, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations. I'm going to gather a people out of every kindred and every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Not going to skip over any. I come here not because of the mystery so much, but because of the wonder of the gospel, which didn't start in the latter day. It's always been there. In the early days, it was taught in types and in shadows. And I say we have a much more sure word of prophecy in our day, and we're a blessed people that we have a little old New Testament as well as the old. Most of them want to get rid of the old one today, but it has a whole lot to say. Both of them support the other, and that's another wonder, is that the gospel, since the very beginning, has been brought to his people. Always. And brought by so many different prophets, written by so many different people, and remaining in a state that it doesn't show any favor one over the other, and also showing that it has such a continuity that each one, as they down through the ages have written the scripture, what a wonder that it all ties together so neatly. It had to be by the inspiration of God that these men, over such a long period of time, all penned things that were of the same spirit. Of course, that is the secret to the whole thing. It was all by the Spirit. Outside of the Spirit of God, no man can see anything. Over in 2 Corinthians, it's talking about the veil being over. That when Moses read, the veil is still over their eyes. But guess what? It's still over all men's eyes. Lest the Lord would open it up to us so we'd have understanding. It is outside of the wisdom of man to understand these spiritual things. because they're spiritually discerned, and the spirit that's in man originally is absolutely diametrically opposed to anything of God. Brother Joyce is talking about her daughter-in-law getting mad at these things. Well, guess what? She's not the only one, and she's got in a great number. But you never know who can tell when the Lord might turn and leave a blessing, especially in the preaching of the gospel. It is a mystery. It was kept secret that the Lord is going to save people out of every tongue in this old world. And we really, really, man has a great problem with that, because it doesn't make any sense to him that he chose Israel. He always tried to turn around and say, well, that's got to mean something else. They say, oh yeah, we believe the Word of God. We believe all of it. The inspired Word of God. And then they run across something like that and they say, well, all Israel could be saved. Well, he must be talking about some other time. They say another dispensation. Just one dispensation, really. The scripture does talk about different dispensations, and we do have the Old Testament and the New. We have the coming of Jesus Christ in His own time. And that's something new. It's in our day. Over in the book of Hebrews, first chapter, I'd like to read that. I'm sure it's for me with all of us. Verse 1, it said, God, that's enough said really there. It's all of God. That's what Paul is trying to say in the book of Romans that we just read. Twice he said it in no uncertain terms. It's God. They said God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Well, that's what we just said. Over and over and over and over with all kinds of conduit. I don't see how a fellow could say, well, we just don't know about the Bible. Whether it is right, or whether it's all the Word of God, or whether if what they dug up, the manuscripts to start with, if they was anything. But you can't, if you read the whole thing, you cannot understand why they can't connect the dots and say this is just one book out of many writings. And it's all of God. It's no private interpretation. So we have it. But he's come sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days. That's our day. Spoken unto us by his Son. They talk a lot about the last days, and this is it, the last days. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He must have the preeminence. It's God. People have a problem with that, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they try to split them up. No, they're complete in the Trinity. He has appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. There wasn't nothing made. It wasn't made by him. He's always reigned. Who do they think he is? Always God. He said, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. On high. Oh, the wonder of these things. That God spoke to us in these last times by his Son. He come and preached. What was he preaching? The same thing. Jesus is Lord. They crucified him for it. But he said he is God. Said this man says he is equal to God. And they crucified him. But the wonder of it all, it didn't slow anything down. Matter of fact, it promoted it. Had they not crucified the Lord of glory, what kind of shape would we have been in? It wasn't any surprise to God that they crucified. But it's done. It's finished. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter, he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come. That's what we just read. It has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, a darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness of people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see all together themselves together. They come to thee. Say that thee over and over again. Come to a specific people. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see. Well, the veil will be taken away, or the heart will be turned, and the veil will be removed. If the heart be turned, then they got a vision. The light has come. Arise. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Skip on over to the 18th verse. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation. He has come in these latter days and preached unto us. It's always been preaching Jesus the Christ too. the anointed one that God had chosen before the foundation of the world and made a covenant with, they might save his people. What? From their sin. Shall call thy wall salvation, thy gates praise, and the sun shall be no more thy light by day, nor the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. And the day star is risen. In thy God, thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. We're not talking about that old land over there they're arguing over and fighting over every day. But it's gone as far as I can see. We see glory of the Lord. That's what the inheritance, true inheritance is, the glory. And the branch of my planting and the work of my hands that I may be glorified. And a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten in it in his time. Always in his time. Now he give us the scriptures the same way, line upon line. Here a little there, precept upon precept. Here a little there. That's the way we learn. No man ever come to the Lord and knew everything. He keeps on. And it's not our endurance that goes on. But it's the Lord's endurance. He's always had a people. And is careful to save them. Not one time. But for all times, that it might be life eternal. Not just one saving, but a continual saving. Especially in this life. If it weren't for that, there wouldn't be any salvation at all, because it would all end in a day or two. They talk about backsliding. That kind of backsliding is impossible. Some think it is possible, but you can't be saved over and over and over. It's all of the Lord. Ephesians, the third chapter. In verse 2, I guess, in the third chapter, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given unto me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when we read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Work of the Spirit. What were we saying a while ago? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If it didn't come upon you, you don't have anything. That's what's wrong today, and the teaching today is You don't need the Holy Ghost. You just need to accept Jesus. But if the Holy Ghost doesn't change your mind, it won't work. Revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with all or of the calling of God, and there's only one people, one church, one baptism, one faith, all in the same unity of Jesus Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the preaching of the gospel. Well, that's where we started, wasn't it? By the preaching of the gospel. And he continued to preach. He's been preaching it ever since day one. Lord made the day for man, and he taught him that that was so. And he's been teaching him ever since. And if a man be born of the Spirit, he will continue to teach you. But it's God who moves upon the heart of man and shows him the mystery of Jesus Christ. Not so much the people being one, but the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which is included all those things.
Men do not want to believe that this is the Word of God. It's too contrary to what they love. They love unrighteousness. If they love righteousness, the Lord said in the third chapter of John, they would come to the light. And this is the light right here. And they would come to that light, and that there it might be made manifest that their deeds were wrought in God. And again, that's what most of them have not got a clue. That the deeds, the true deeds, those works of righteousness, those works that are anchored in the love of God, in the love of Christ, they are wrought by God and not by man. No man ever had any concept, and still does not have any concept, except again by the Spirit itself. That which is truly godly.